If you go with me really quick, I'd like to go to the book of John, chapter number 3. And we're going to start out in verse number 14, John chapter 3, verse number 14. And if you're able to, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? John chapter 3, verse number 14 is where we'll start. All right. And the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Let's go ahead and pray and we'll open up this message. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity, Lord. I just ask that you take me out of the picture, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would be up here, that your Holy Spirit would be speaking through me, Lord, and giving me the words to say. Lord, I just ask that it'd be something that helps somebody this season, Father, with especially the time as we're trying to remember your Son, Father. It's not about the presence, not about the light. It's about the only one true light, and that's you. Father, help us to just think on you, Father, and remember exactly what happened this Christmas is when you came. And Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity. Just be with us now. Send your Holy Spirit in my prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So I wanna talk about the two greatest gifts that God ever gave. The two greatest gifts that God gave us. Now, the people would say there's a lot of other things that God has given us, and God has. He's given us so much, more than we deserve. But I want to focus in on two different distinct gifts that God gives us. And the first gift is found here in John chapter 3. I'll give you a little bit of background. This is when Nicodemus comes to Jesus. And Nicodemus, it says that he comes to him in the night. And he starts asking him. He says, you're a teacher. You're a teacher that is from God. And you know things that we don't. And I want to know. And so he asks him. And he said, Jesus answered, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And when he asked that question, Nicodemus was a ruler of the Jews, so he had a lot of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And so when Jesus says that to him, he looks at Jesus and he says, "I've never heard this before. How is a man supposed to be born again? I don't understand. Do I have to go back into my mother's womb? How does this work?" He wasn't being ignorant when he asked that question. He was asking because he was questioning it. He said, "I don't understand what you're saying to me. I don't understand. I know you're a teacher," and he calls him rabbi, which is being interpreted master. And so he knows that Jesus knows something. So he's not being ignorant when he asks him, how's this done? Do you go back into the mother's womb? What goes on? And we see as he goes through and Jesus gives him some things to think on, he comes down to the point, as we read in John chapter 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world." God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And that was the very first gift that I want to point out, is God gave his Son. God gave his Son, Jesus Christ, so that one day we would be able to go to heaven with him. And that's why Jesus came down and he lived a perfect life. He didn't live a perfect life just for living a perfect life. He lived a perfect life because back in the Old Testament, they had to find a spotless lamb. If they were going to get their sins forgiven, they had to find a spotless lamb. It had to have no blemishes. There could be no blemishes on the lamb. It had to be spotless. It had to be clean. And that is why we have to have a Savior that is clean, that never did anything wrong, had no sin. He was not tainted with the world. He was not tainted of the world. And that's why Jesus came down and he lived that perfect life. He didn't live that perfect life so he could say, "Hey, look, I've lived a perfect life. I'm good. We're all good here." No, Jesus lived a perfect life because there was only one way to pay our way to heaven. That was with a perfect life. A perfect life that was sacrificed upon Mount Calvary when he gave up his life. No man takes his life. Jesus says, no man can take my life, for I give it free. And he gave it. And that's when the Jews said, "We want him persecuted. We want to crucify him. Crucify him. We want to set Barabbas free." But we had to have a perfect life to be shed on the cross. And when he died, we all know that he died on Mount Calvary. They put his tomb, they put his body in the tomb, and 3 days later he rose again. He's alive and he's living. But Jesus is alive in heaven. And he took that blood upon the mercy seat so that one day we'd be able to go. One day we have we have access to go.
Amen.
And I just want to point out a few things about Jesus that as I was studying, I was seeing. Because I looked at Jesus and yes, Jesus was perfect. He was the Savior. He's the one that died on the cross and he made our way so we could go to heaven. But I was looking and I wanted to see what was the main goal of God sending Jesus. And if you flip over with me to Luke chapter 19, in verse number 10, the Bible says, if I can get my fat fingers to get over there, Luke chapter 19, verse number 10, it says, "For the Son of Man," speaking of Jesus here, "for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So I see here that the main goal of why Jesus came so that he could make a way. Jesus came so that he could see people go to heaven. Because back then, they were looking for the coming Messiah. Back in the Old Testament, it's prophesied all the way through. A lot of people would say that the Old Testament is the unveiling of Jesus Christ, and the New Testament is the revealing of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is revealed in the New Testament, and it shows us that what he came for was to see people saved. What he came for was to make a way for people to go to heaven. It wasn't so he could just live a perfect life, because living a perfect life, we know that's not going to get us to heaven. There's a lot of people out there that believe, oh, if I do right, if I do good, if I give my money to the poor, if I do all these things, it's going to get me to heaven. But that's not right. Jesus says there's only one way, and that's through me.
Come on.
John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me."
Yeah.
Jesus said, you're only going to get there through me. There's Amen. No other way. There's not works. There's not giving your money. It's through me. It's Jesus plus nothing and Jesus minus nothing.
Yeah.
That's what's going to get us there, is that blood that he shed on the mercy seat.
Amen.
But if you go ahead and we're gonna jump around to a lot of different passages, but I'd like to show you is he came for the woman at the well. In John chapter 4, verse number 10, and the Bible says, verse number 10 says, Jesus answered, and we're talking about the woman at the well, Jesus answered and said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith that he give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Jesus came just for that woman at the well. He came to reach her so that she could go to heaven. Not only that woman, he also, in same chapter, a couple verses later, in 53, it says, this is the nobleman's son. The nobleman comes and asks Jesus, "Hey, my son, he's dying. I need him to be healed. Can you heal him?" And 53 says, so the father, this is after the father goes home, and because Jesus said, "Go, thy son liveth." He runs home, sees the servant, asks the servant, because the servant says, "Your son's alive, your son's alive." And he says, "Okay, when did my son come alive? When was it?" And they tell him the hour, and it says in 53, so the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth." And himself, speaking about the father, or speaking about the nobleman, and himself believed and his whole house. He didn't just heal that nobleman's son so that the nobleman would say, "Oh, my son's alive." He didn't just heal the nobleman's son so that the nobleman would believe. But Jesus healed the nobleman's son so that not only the son, the nobleman, and if you read that those last three words, his whole house.
Yeah.
However many people were in that house, he was a nobleman. He had servants. He had other people that were under him. And those people, everybody in his household, believed.
Yes.
Not only that, one more I'd like to show you. John chapter 9. We're just going to stay in the book of John for a little bit. We're talking about the blind man at the pool of Siloam. Jesus tells him, "Hey, you go wash in the pool of Siloam, and you'll be able to see again." And down in verse number 35-36, after the blind man, he's healed, he goes before the council, and they pretty much tell him, "Hey, how are you seeing? You were once blind. How are you seeing?" "Well, you know, I was healed," and he didn't know at first who healed him. But then when Jesus showed himself and said, "Hey, I'm the one that healed you," he said, "Hey, Jesus healed me. No, Jesus healed me. How can a sinner do these miracles?" And he's telling the Pharisees at this time, and he's pretty much preaching to them, and they're saying, "We don't like this. We don't like what you're saying. Yep. We don't like you talking about Jesus as him being a man. He's able to do all these things. We don't like this."
And so what they do is they pretty much kick him out, and they say, shun him, let's not talk to him, let's not even believe that he exists. And after that happens, look what Jesus says. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him, he said unto them, dost thou believe on the Son of God? 36. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto them, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talked with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Now that man that was blind, once blind, he's been shunned out of the temple. Jesus went just for that man, so that man could be saved. He healed him, not so that he could be healed, not so that he could just have sight again, but he healed him so that he would believe. Whenever Jesus met someone, if you read through the scriptures, a lot of times it'll say, Jesus was moved with compassion. Compassion moves us to action. And Jesus, he was moved by these people. He was moved because they are the ones that he said, I want you in heaven. I want you, Brother Dennis, in heaven. I want you, Miss Bonnie, in heaven. I want you, Miss Maddie, in heaven. I want you, Heather, in heaven. I want you, Miss Carol. I want you, Grandma. I want everybody in heaven.
Yeah.
And that's what he came for. That was the first God, the first gift that God gave us was Jesus. And his main goal was just coming down and seeking to save that which was lost. That was his whole purpose. He just wanted to see us be able to go to heaven.
Yes.
He wanted us to spend eternity with him. He didn't want us to spend an eternity in hell. He wanted to spend an eternity in heaven. And that's why he came. Yeah. And that was the first gift God gave us. But I'd like to draw your attention to the second gift that God gave us. Yeah, over in the book of Acts. We're going to go toss over to the book of Acts really quick. Turn too many pages. Okay, book of Acts. Acts chapter 1. And it says in verse number 7, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking. He's speaking to the disciples right now. There's about 120 disciples up in the upper room. And he's speaking to them and says, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. You're not to know what's supposed to happen. It's not for you to know. But, look, there's a but there. That means, even though you're not supposed to know, you're not supposed to know the times, look what you are supposed to know. But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What God's saying here is, first I gave you Jesus. I gave you Jesus because I want you guys in heaven. I want you to go to heaven. But look at this. The second gift God gives us, he gives us the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to run through a lot of different passages. I'm going to stay in the book of Acts. But I want to show you just what God gave us. God gave us the Holy Ghost, but he did not give us the Holy Ghost so we could sit down and just not do anything with it. God gave us the Holy Ghost so we could go out and reach a world for him. In the book of Acts, and if you just take a look with me, Acts chapter 2. Peter is preaching. He's preaching the sermon of Pentecost. And as he's preaching at Pentecost, we look at what happens in near the very end of the chapter. Do you mean that here? In chapter 2, verse number. Let me look back at my notes. He preaches Pentecost, and as he's preaching Pentecost, it says in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's a couple verses back, if you go through there, it talks about how there were 3,000 that were added. Not just the 3,000. 3,000 was right away when he preached. But then, and that's 3,000 people that were saved, but then God's adding to the church daily. God's continually adding. In Acts chapter 4, Peter, he heals a lame man. And when the lame man is healed, he goes into the temple with the lame man, and he preaches at the temple, at the synagogue. And when he's preaching, he ends up seeing 5,000 people saved. And it's because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 5, Peter is going through with Ananias and Sapphira. They come, they're trying to not give the full money that God said, hey, you're supposed to give to the church. And what ends up happening, because Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost, they end up dropping dead right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they did, it says in the Bible, it talks about how the people feared and believed.
Yep.
There were so many people around that were scared, and they believed because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Acts chapter 8, Philip's led by the Holy Spirit
to go soul win to a eunuch in the middle of the desert. And the Holy Spirit says, hey, run up to that chariot and talk to that man. Run up to that chariot and go speak to that person. Because they're going to get saved if you do.
Yep.
Because he's filled with the Holy Ghost. There's so many more. But the second gift that God gives us is being filled, is the Holy Ghost. Now, my exhortation, or the whole reason for the message is, in the very first part, God gave us Jesus so that we could be saved. But God gave us the Holy Ghost so we could see others saved. So during this time, it's Christmas time, we're supposed to be remembering Jesus. And yes, Jesus was the greatest gift God ever gave. But don't forget, he gave us the Holy Ghost so we could reach other people.
Yes.
And see them.
Amen.